the distance, there's a roaring fire along with the sounds of men yelling. Some in pain, some in anger. Such an important building, caught in the middle of the fight, had suffered the consequences of the War of 1812, when British soldiers became determined to burn it to the ground. It was of significance to the United States government, of course. In fact, George Washington himself ordered its construction back in 1791, when the first building was built. It would then become the temporary home of John Adams and Abigail Adams 8 years after that. Well, until it was burned down. It was then that James Hoban was tasked with the redesign and construction of the new building. President James Monroe moved in 1817, and it hadn't even been fully constructed yet. Some parts were still being built. But such a rough start to a place that has seen multiple renovations, destruction, and death is bound to have a different kind of history on its own. Sightings of the past. Let's have a look at some of the tales and encounters of the ghosts that roam in the White House of the United States of America. My name is Edwin. Here is a dark memory. The best witness accounts are usually from people that you would least expect to bring the best stories. And such was the case with Jeremiah Smith, an employee at the White House who worked there during the Ulysses S. Grant administration, and for 35 years until he retired. He held many jobs there, as a footman, butler, cook, and even took the role of an official duster. Everyone who met him loved him and found him entertaining, and not just because of his stories. He was a joy to be around. But in terms of ghosts, he claimed to have seen the dead presidents, Grant, McKinley, and of course, Lincoln, who appears to be one of the most stubborn ghosts that keeps coming back in the White House. I will share more about him and his appearances a little later. Some of the other ghosts he had seen included multiple first ladies from previous administrations. Of course, the way he told his stories left people entertained, though I'm sure some were more spooked than others. But there was one ghost in particular that left an even more sinister impression. Want to hear about the Thing? As you may know, when presidents get elected, they also come with a new staff and administrators that help run day-to-day operations and other important tasks. Well, during the President Taft's administration, staff members started noticing a strange apparition around the White House. The sense was strange, and as members of the staff were standing or sitting, they would feel slight pressure on their shoulders, feeling almost as if a child was leaning over them to see what they were doing. Have you ever felt that? In fact, the Thing became the nickname of a teen boy. It was estimated to be around 14 or 15 years old, and he was blamed for the hysteria around the White House and the apparition. The number of those who claimed to have seen the figure was rising. It was so disturbing that even President Taft had gotten involved and resorted to threatening with an order. Any person who spoke of the Thing would be fired. Of course, this didn't stop the apparition from making itself known. Strange encounters at the White House did not stop there. Just recently, the Obama family had said that they heard strange noises in the hallways at night, claiming that they have felt something chewing or gnawing at their feet in the house. One night, twin sisters Jenna and Barbara, daughters of President Bush, were in their bedroom. When from the fireplace, they started to hear something strange. Do you hear it? The sound of a piano melody. Music from another era. But the weird phenomena did not stop there. It wasn't even the beginning of it. When President Reagan was passing by the Lincoln bedroom, his dog would always bark right at the entrance. When nudged to go inside and stop barking, the dog would refuse every single time. His daughter and son-in-law also had experiences with the apparition in that bedroom. The witnesses to his ghost even include Winston Churchill, a British leader, who once stayed in the Lincoln bedroom, later to give his own account that, yes, the apparition of President Lincoln had appeared in the room. Anger, they say, can cause a person's spirit to refuse to leave the realm of the living. And some believe that this is the case of Andrew Jackson. When he arrived at the White House, he was enraged just at the thought of his loss, the first one, to John Quincy Adams. Adams had cheated, he would say, and with that, he would still curse at the walls and stomp his shoes against the floor as loud as he could. That habit followed him in the afterlife, it seems. The room where he stayed, the Rose Room, is thought to be one of the most haunted rooms in the entire estate. He was heard through one of the First Lady's seances, those that Lady Mary Todd Lincoln would hold inside the White House. And she would tell people that she heard the sound of Andrew Jackson stomping, pacing, swearing through the walls. Even President Truman claimed to have heard Jackson stomping. In a letter he wrote to his wife, he said, "I sit here in this old house and work on foreign affairs, read reports, and work on speeches, all the while listening to the ghosts walk up and down the hallway, and even right here in the study. The floors pop and the drapes move back and forth. I can just imagine old Andy and Teddy having an argument over Franklin." Even in recent times, after the 1960s, staff claimed to hear Jackson letting out a guttural laugh, coming directly from his old bedroom in the White House. The East Room of the White House was supposedly the warmest and driest, or so Abigail Adams, the wife of President Adams, had heard. So she would use the room to hang laundry there to dry after it had been washed. Remember that at the time, Washington, D.C. was only a small town by the Potomac River, with very swampy grounds. And yes, First Ladies did their own laundry. But now the White House staff frequently sees Abigail wearing her cap and lace shawl, heading right for the East Room, arms outstretched, holding a phantom basket of laundry. But a very peculiar tale is that of David Burns, the man who owned the land and sold it for the White House to be built there, whose voice can still be heard. The first time it was heard, it was President Franklin Roosevelt who heard it. The voice was coming from the yellow oval room as it said, "I'm Mr. Burns." A guard during the Truman administration was performing his duties when suddenly he heard the same voice say, "I'm Mr. Burns." Confused, he went looking for the then Secretary of State, James Burns. After asking around in a quick search, he found out that the Secretary of State had not been at the White House that day. Perhaps one of the most interesting stories of the White House, and one that has been briefly mentioned in this episode, is the story of President Abraham Lincoln, who had already had a series of tragic events following him even prior to his presidency. These are some of the strange phenomena that surrounded the life and death of President Abraham Lincoln. In 1862, their 11-year-old son, Willie, died. Abraham Lincoln's wife, Mary Todd Lincoln, was devastated and started seeking closure from unusual places, mainly seances with psychic groups in Georgetown. Some mediums had even gotten invited to the White House and would go straight to the Red Room, where they would attempt to contact their dead son. One of the psychic mediums had written a memoir where she speaks out about these meetings, explaining how even President Lincoln attended some of these with his wife. She explained how the president was skeptical at first, but later became a believer. But another strange thing was happening with President Lincoln, something that involved his dreams. Lincoln had told his friend Ward Hill Lehman on April 11th that he had been having a dream that had been annoying him. He was walking, lost, among a group of sobbing mourners when he saw a corpse lying down in the East Room. In the confusion, he asked a soldier who was standing guard a simple question. "Who is dead in the White House?" The guard replied that it was the president, who was killed by an assassin. Soon after having that dream, President Lincoln was shot in the head while attending a play. When John Wilkes Booth sneaked into the Ford Theater, the assassin managed to escape, but the hunt was on for Booth. It didn't take long for everyone to realize that this had been a conspiracy against the president and not a single person working alone. The authorities managed a quick investigation and tried the guilty parties. They found a woman, Mary, guilty for conspiring to kill the president also. She was sentenced to death on July 7th of that same year. And her ghost has been seen in Fort McNair, where she was held imprisoned, as well as seen roaming around her boarding house. People have heard voices in her old house, along with other noises, especially on the second floor. Mary Todd Lincoln continued with the seances even after her husband's assassination. It was a way for her to process the deaths and the way that would help her gain comfort during her mourning process. But President Lincoln, well, his ghost, still roams the White House and even the Ford Theater, right in the box where he was shot. They say there you can hear the sound of a gunshot and then screams. In the place where he was taken immediately after being shot, the Peterson House, people claim to feel a very heavy presence and overcome with sadness. On display, you can even see his real blood-stained sheets. And as of Mary, the woman who was sentenced to death, they say that her daughter, Anna, can be seen and heard banging on the doors of the White House, exactly in the same way that she had done to President Johnson, pleading for mercy for her mother, to please be pardoned for her crime. We all know that outcome now, as her mother became the first woman to be executed by the federal government. But even Willie Lincoln, his son, has been seen around the White House by staff members, especially during the Grant administration during the 1870s. And there are others. People claim to have heard Thomas Jefferson and his violin in the Yellow Oval Room, even in the afterlife. Dolly Madison, the wife of President James Madison, is known to still protect the White House Rose Garden. President Henry Harrison, who was only president for a month, was the first president to die in the White House. His ghost is said to haunt the attic. And likely because of the battle in the War of 1812, staff have said to have seen a British soldier roam the grounds carrying a torch, just like they did back then. A place that is staffed at all hours of the day with such a big space that includes 132 rooms and 6 floors of the building, it might be easy for people to begin imagining things. Being in a place with an enormous amount of history and documentation that lists exactly who lived there and during what era. Imagine if you had that in your own home. But when the tours stop and the place goes dark, presidents and guests retire to the bedrooms. Another realm comes to life. That realm of the people of the past. The ones that were surrounded by tragedy. The ones that were called too soon. And those that still show their anger with noises and their own voices in the hallways. with renovations taking place to ensure that the house endures the many years that await and provide a home for the presidents of the future, we realize that there are still many more stories waiting their turn to fill the White House. Some may be stories of success, and others of tragedies. And as a living building, every detail will likely be recorded. And as the stories begin to line its walls, they will intertwine with the ghosts, adding to the White House's own collection of memories. A Dark Memory is produced by me, Edwin Covarrubias, with research by Madeline Guerra. To find out more about the show, be sure to visit adarkmemory.com or find the link in the description of this episode. To stay up to date, be sure to click follow right now on your podcast player. Until next time, thank you very much for listening.